Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
It's all about the food today. Hopefully it's about family, and hopefully it's about giving thanks and having gratitude. But it's really about the food. I mean, come on. That's what we're talking about. Hopefully you'll take some time around the table to share what you're grateful for. But I would like to know your worst Thanksgiving disaster ever. We've all had one. And by the way, I have started the show with my worst emotional Thanksgiving disaster ever. It's the story that I tell every single year on Thanksgiving. For the last 13 years that I have been on CCO, I have shared this story. And if you did not get to hear it live, please feel free to go to the podcast and the Adam and Jordana show. It's there in the first hour. I started with it. It'll make you laugh and hopefully give you some solace. But I wanted to give others solace if they are just completely decimating the dinner. What did you screw up? You said you would bring something. You can't. The turkey is half frozen when you try to serve it. 651-461-9226. Jump in, because you know what you're going to do? You're going to make the rest of us feel a lot better about what we have screwed up. 651-461-9226. I'll go first. I was living in Indianapolis and away from my family. I was doing a morning show there. And when you do a morning show, your whole world gets a little screwed up because you're up at 3 a.m, you're at the office by 4, and like you're in bed by 6 or 8 p.m. You know, you're done because you have to wake up at 3 a.m. So your whole life sort of gets turned upside down. So basically all of my friends were the people that worked on the show with us. We had the same hours. We all had to go to bed early. We all had to get up early. And I was one of the grown-ups in the room. They were very young. And I was married. And I said, I will do Thanksgiving at my house. I never made a Thanksgiving dinner, but I was going to do it. I did. I found a kosher turkey in Indianapolis. I bought it. I did all the things. I followed the recipe, did all the things. And it seemingly looked okay. And I put it out on the table. And I guess I thought the tradition was to carve it at the table. And as my husband at the time was carving it, there was some plastic that he was cutting through. I had forgotten to take, I think they're called giblets. I had forgotten to take whatever is inside the turkey before when you buy it, I had forgotten to take that out. I get now people put in onions or stuffing, or you're supposed to use that cavity for something tasty. It was my first turkey. I had never made a whole turkey in my life. I'd made turkey breast. And turkey breast doesn't come with giblets. So literally, I mean, it cooked in there. So it was like a soggy, wet bag of disgustingness. And yes, we all laughed. Yes, I was absolutely humiliated. I don't know that I've ever made a whole turkey since, because I really don't make Thanksgiving. But I was horrified. And it gave me a good nightmare story to tell. It's still cooked, so I guess if you leave the giblets in, it's not fatal. Well, for the turkey it was, but that was my Thanksgiving nightmare story. And even when I was drunk and a complete emotional disaster, I still pulled off a pecan pie. But that was the worst thing for me that happened on Thanksgiving. 651-461-9226. When I was sharing my original story from Thanksgiving, someone chimed in and said it was about a pecan pie. someone texted in and said, a person whose blog I follow told the story about making her pecan pie. She heated the oven and had the pie on a cookie sheet. And by the way, you're supposed to make pecan pie on a cookie sheet, maybe all pies, because if it kind of, if it seeps over the side, if you overfill and it seeps over the side, it can stick to the bottom of your oven and make it really dirty and gross, and it's hard to clean. So that was a really good tip, and I use that tip. Okay, back to the text. Once again, the person whose blog I follow told the story about making her pecan pie. She heated the oven, had the pie on a cookie sheet, and when she tried to slide it in the oven, it fell off and spilled all over the inside of the hot oven. She said she was lucky because her husband cleaned it up while she sobbed in the bedroom. I am with you. Oh my gosh, that would be me. You have a good husband. We are grateful for our husbands today. That's so true. And cleaning up a pecan pie from a hot oven, I mean, your husband is an angel. And also, pecan pie, here's the deal. It cooks for over an hour and then it cools for two. It's kind of a process. So it's not like you can be like, oh, okay, I'm just going to clean it up and remake it. You've already lost time. So that's a challenge. So I'm sorry about that. But worst Thanksgiving cooking mess up. FYI, turkey breasts do come with giblets in the back. Do they? I guess maybe none of the turkey breasts that I bought had the giblets. And it's been a look, you're talking to a vegan now. Like, it's been a long time since I made a turkey. But I remember my turkey breasts were delicious. I would make a rub with them. They were delicious. And I would cook them upside down. So the breasts were really, that's how I cooked my turkeys too, upside down. Mm. But yeah, that there was a tip. I don't know. I just took whatever people's tips they would give me. And I did it. The giblets. Yeah, I cooked the giblets and they were still in the plastic when I served it. Do you have one, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, mine was just a couple of years ago. Luckily, it wasn't me. And I'm throwing Sarah's brother under the bus with this one.
Yeah, it's okay.
The one I can really think of. Yeah, probably not. When the turkey was supposedly cooked a couple of years ago and the temperature was supposedly taken, it wasn't taken properly.
Oh, my gosh.
So, in the next day or two, numerous people that attended said Thanksgiving dinner ended up with a little case of food poisoning because the turkey...
Oh, my God, that's the worst.
...wasn't... It must have been temped on a bone or something like that. It wasn't temped correctly in the meatier part of the bird. So... lesson to all those that do tempt the bird and are maybe cooking it for the first time. Make sure you're temping it properly, because if you hit a bone or something that obviously is going to be a little hotter than the meat part of it, make sure it's done properly, because you will thank me later and not get food poisoning.
Oh, my God. That really is one of my worst nightmares. And I cook a lot for
other
people.
It makes me thankful. And I just talked to Sarah about this the other day, because I've run into a few people in my Target gig where I'm just like, man, not being in charge of getting all these things at the store, whether it's you, Jordana, or whoever, God bless you, because that you are in charge of numerous people's holiday food experience. And you, if you forget something or if you get the wrong thing, it's game over. Like, it's not good. And I'm glad that Sarah and I right now are not in a position where we are hosting a Thanksgiving dinner. We are more so the people that leech on to other people's Thanksgiving dinner, as far as like our family or whoever, because that task of being the shopper, whether you're the head of household or whoever, bravo to you. Like, round of applause, because that is a task that I'm not looking forward to doing for the first time, but it's a thankless job.
It can be fraught.
Yeah,
and that is a lot of respect. And that's one of my fears about, that's probably why I usually overcook things. Certainly why Pam Green did. You know, we learned to like things burnt because they were overdone. Because you don't want it to be so, you know, dangerous. You don't want someone leaving your house and getting food poisoning. That happened at a wedding that we had gone to. My kids ate the chicken and they were sick the next day. And anybody who ate the chicken got sick the next day from this wedding. I just would have been devastated. Jordana, here's some of your texts. My first turkey was for the entire family. I bought the kind of turkey with the pop-up. Smart. For some reason, I didn't trust when the thing popped up. So I cut the whole thing up and boiled the thing on the stove in the water until it was done. Yikes. I was banned forever from cooking the turkey again. Yeah, that's an extreme measure. That is an extreme measure. I hear you on that. And you know what? That's also a good way to get out of cooking. Let somebody else do it. Oh, Donna's calling us from St. Peter. Hi, sweetheart. What's your Thanksgiving nightmare?
First of all, I just want to tell you how blessed I am to have you as a friend.
Oh, Donna, I'm wearing your butterfly necklace, thinking of you and wishing you all good things this Thanksgiving.
It'll be quiet. It'll be the first year without either of my parents. So
it's a hard year.
It wasn't really a disaster, but it was really rough. It was the second Thanksgiving that Bob and I were together. So that would be 5 years ago. And we decided to make the entire meal and bring it to his mom's.
Nice.
So she didn't have to cook anything, nothing. I mean, everything was from scratch, stuffing, everything.
Nice.
And I worked my butt off. And after we sat down, said the blessing, you know, everybody's passing stuff around. Mm-hmm. And Bob's dad, may he rest in heaven, said, this is the best stuffing I've had since my mom passed away.
Oh.
Bob's mom literally got up, threw her plate across the table, her napkin, everything, and stormed out of the room.
Oh, no. Did he mean to be mean, or was he just complimenting you?
Let me put it this way. His mom was a really good cook, and that's why Bob has gained so much weight since he's met me, since he lived with his mom, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
But, yeah, it was really hard, you know, only a couple of years into the relationship. And, it kind of broke my heart. I actually got up and was going to leave until one of his sisters stopped me at the door. Because it's like, you know, I worked my butt off and for somebody to act that way. But I just want you to know I'm thankful for your show, for your stories, for just for life lessons and everything that you and Adam and DJ and Josh and when Ryan's on, you guys just always bring joy to my day, especially if I'm having a crappy day. So I thank you for that. And I wish you and Mark and all the aunts and his mom a very blessed and happy Thanksgiving.
Donna, you're the best. We are grateful for you and listeners like Donna. We have had the pleasure to meet Donna and hang out with her and go fishing with her in person. So I love hearing from her. Happy Thanksgiving, sweetheart.
You too, hon. Love you. Bye-bye.
You got it. 651-461-9226. If you want to share your Thanksgiving nightmare story, we want to hear it. The person who sent in about the pumpkin roll, your text got cut off. Send it back in again, and I will share it with the group. But it's also a time on Thanksgiving Day where we try to play our most inspirational guests that we have had. And a few weeks ago, we got to speak with James Laurie. James and his wife, Mary, have a bookshop, and they have been booksellers for over 50 years in the Twin Cities. Yes, they are. They're in their 80s now. They've managed to keep the bookshop open and alive and functioning for all of these years. And he is going to, his daughter sent us, she wrote a press release. She's not a PR person, but she wrote a press release about her parents and their fascinating story. So hear the story of James and Mary Laurie booksellers next on CC. More of your things.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
It's giving nightmare stories in the next half hour. By the way, also Dear Jordana in the next half hour. We're doing it. It's Thursday. I'm here. Let's do it. But they do not have to be Thanksgiving-related questions. But if they are, totally fine. Get your Dear Jordana questions in right now on the text line at 651-461-9226. Or you can use that little feature on the Odyssey app where you can record your voice. I love to hear your energy asking those questions. James and Mary Laurie Booksellers is an antique bookstore. It has been a Twin Cities institution for over 50 years. They've moved around trying to find their right space. They have just returned to the heart of downtown Minneapolis. They're now open on Marquette Avenue. We spoke to James a few weeks ago. He told us how he started his bookstore over five decades ago.
Oh, back in the 60s, we were looking for a way to make an income and something that was fun to do it. So we jumped into this by buying a dealer's inventory that was getting divorced. We bought his literature inventory, and we've been doing it ever since. We moved four times, and every time that we've moved, we've improved our lot, and I think we're doing that this time, too. This was probably our most difficult move because we're older than we were 15 years ago, so it was hard, but the traffic's better here, and people are coming in abundantly, and they're very welcoming, and they're very excited to have us here, so I think it's going to be great.
And that was going to be my question, because all I hear is about is people read less. Not as many people are reading. Who's still coming to bookstores, and how popular is it still to peruse a bookstore?
You guys are close enough that you should come in, because
yes, we should.
You'll feel the excitement when you get here. It changes people's lives too.
How so?
They're introduced to new things. We have the best book on 50 people's shelves that they love. It came from us, and they can look at it. If they haven't read it, they can look at the book on the shelf and think, that's something I'm going to read when I get to it. Mm-hmm. And that's a positive experience. If they have read it and liked it, they look at it fondly and say, that was a great book. I know where I got it. I'm going back.
James, it's not just books that you have, and certainly, you know, you're not a Barnes & Noble. It's my understanding, according to your daughter, you know, that you and your wife, Lori, Mary. I'm so sorry. Yes, Mary. Spent your life preserving rare out-of-print and collectible books, maps, prints, and even vinyl records. Is how much of this is your own personal collection, and how old are we talking, James?
Oh, we've sold a papal missal that was published not later than I think 1435 once. We acquired the Library of Roman Vishniac in New York. You know, there were $20,000 books in there. A few years ago, I sold 40,000 vinyl records to one person, not a dealer.
Wow.
And I thought I was out of the record business, but within a few months, I found more to buy.
No doubt.
Is there
What's your favorite?
Well, as you say, you know, we've seen the resurgence of vinyl. And that young people are like, oh, man, you know, these are great. These are discs that you play music on. Is that do we see that? Is there hope that young people at some point will say, you know, I read everything on my phone, even books I can read on my phone, that there'll be somehow like a resurgence of people saying, ah, there's nothing like a hardcover, a softcover book, a dog-eared book, and that we'll see a resurgence in that?
There's always hope. A few years ago, I had some young girls in, less than 20 easily, and ask them if they knew what a vinyl record was. And none of them did. And I said, let me show you what a vinyl record is. And I pulled it out and showed it to them, and they were kind of awestruck. And that kind of thing happens all the time. Yes. You show somebody a book that we also have lots of prints and maps. Our selection of art here is pretty good, too.
You and Mary have been working together and have been husband and wife, I imagine, for over 50 years. Have you made that relationship work as you're together at work, you're together at home? Give other people some advice on a good marriage or a successful one.
You have to figure out to have time apart, because and you have to figure out how to work together. And to make this business work, we do different things, and I couldn't do it without her, and she couldn't do it without me, but I can't do the same things she does, and she can't do the same things I do. So it's a team.
I love it. So tell us again the location of the bookstore and when you will be moving from the North Loop to open the new shop.
We are moved. We are out of the North Loop 2-3 weeks ago completely, and we're here, and the doors are open at 933 Marquette, just across 10th Street from the Hilton Hotel, which is a good place to park if you can't find street parking.
For sure.
We'll be there.
James,
especially the maps,
James,
man. I love old maps.
Oh, yeah.
I love looking
and
at
those
old maps.
Those make great
old maps,
gifts.
Old maps put you in your place.
Yeah.
Because they're artistic, they're dated, and you know you're part of humanity. You're not the center of everything.
Yeah.
That's so true.
I need that.
James Laurie from James and Mary Laurie Booksellers, thank you so much for sharing your story. And tell your daughter, great job on the pitch, because I did love talking to you.
Well, come and see us. I've thought of you.
I will.
Several times I've looked at books thinking, you know, I should send this book to Jordana because I think she'd enjoy it and learn something new.
I'm coming. I just finished, by the way, I'm sorry, we're going to talk about books now because I love books. I just finished The Librarian. Did you read The Librarian? It was about the woman who curated J.P. Morgan's now public library in New York City.
Yeah.
Oh, I know the book. She was a black woman who lived as a white passing, because if anybody hasn't read that, read The Librarian about J.P. Morgan's library. So good. James, I'm coming to visit you. I'm coming.
Great. I look forward to both of you.
Okay. Thanks for the time.
All right. Thanks.
So fun to talk with him. And I will be going and buying some Hanukkah gifts at their new bookstore on Marquette. And by the way, that book, it's called The Personal Librarian of J.P. Morgan. It's not I'm sure there's another librarian that might be like a horror movie, but The Personal Librarian of J.P. Morgan was the one I was talking about. And really, it is a fantastic book, historical fiction, and I loved it. I loved it all around. Ooh, I'm late for the break. Dear Jordana, Thanksgiving or not, let's have some fun. 651-461-9.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch.
you focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
226. Yo. I'm ready for you. 651-461-9226. Don't ask me how to cook a turkey. I don't know. Remember, I told the story where I left the giblets inside. I don't know. But ask me anything else. 651-461-9226. You can call. You can text. Let me know your questions. I will do my very best to answer them. I know some questions have been coming in via email all week, Josh. I think you got a couple of those lined up.
Yeah, let's take a look here. Get on the right page. All right. Dear Jordana, are leftovers fair game even if someone else is hosting? Can we bring our own Tupperware, or is the host getting all the spoils of the meal?
That's a really good question. I do think it's a little rude if you just take things and don't ask. If you just assume, because here's the deal. Generally, the host paid for the meal. The host bought all the supplies, unless it was some kind of a potluck. That's a different story. But if the host is hosting and they paid for the meal, those leftovers are theirs. And you better keep your stinking rotten hands off of it. Mm. Absolutely not. If you have a favorite or you say, hey, can I bring a little home for later? But you may not bring your own Tupperware and load up so you can have meals for the week. Because whoever cooked Thanksgiving dinner is probably planning their meals for the rest of the week with the leftovers from Thanksgiving dinner. What is fun, and I'll tell you this, Mark's sister said, she told us as we were planning Thanksgiving, she is hosting, and she said, please bring your own Tupperware because she doesn't want to have all the leftovers. Mm. So other people are bringing stuff, and she wants us to make our own little Tupperware, which is very generous and very nice. But if that person has a bunch of kids or is hosting people that are staying in their home, they need the extra food to feed all those people that they already paid for. So no, unless you are offered leftovers, you are not allowed to take them. You can ask, but don't be mad when the host says no, because that food is already spoken for. So don't be upset. You can make your own Thanksgiving meal at home.
Yeah.
Or work it out beforehand. Don't just dig through their fridge. That's not okay. But it's very generous when people say, bring your own Tupperware. So, you know, they don't have to supply the Tupperware also. Very generous if they're going to do that. But I don't blame them if they don't. They've probably been cooking all week and plan to live for the next week off those leftovers.
That was kind of the situation with Sarah and I at Target yesterday. What can we bring so we don't have to get sent home with grandma's Tupperware again? So we had to go Tupperware shopping yesterday.
Yeah, so, and they sell even
today, so.
Yeah, they sell the throwaway ones too. You know, the real crappy plastic ones. Don't heat your food up in that. It probably has like
We're also factoring in like, all right, let's get something that we can also keep. Not just like get us through the weekend kind of thing. We're trying to figure out something that works, but also something that is going to be used.
Fair.
Dear Jordana, my family's tradition is to assign dibs on leftovers before dinner even starts, and I really, really want the last of the green bean casserole. The problem is my sister-in-law, who always claims it is against the spirit of the holiday to hide the, or excuse me, is it against the spirit of the holiday to hide the casserole dish behind the slow cooker before anyone can look at the fridge?
Oh, see, I like this. This family... You said they assign dibs on leftovers before the dinner starts. Okay, so that's what they do, and I love that. Everybody's on the same page. But if they assign dibs, then why can't you say dibs on the green bean casserole? You know? And also, hiding food so nobody else gets it. If it's your house, I think you can do that. If it's... Like, I do this. I'm letting you guys in on a secret. On Shabbat, when I make challah, I serve two challahs on Shabbat. One is for that day, and one is for the next day when you're not supposed to work or cook. It's for the next day for Shabbat. But we serve them on Friday night. And sometimes I have people who come to the house and just want to keep eating the challah. And I do make, I use it the next morning for my husband. I make him something called cholent, and he has a slice of challah with it. Or sometimes even the kids want, you know, the challah French toast. So if I see that people, after they're allotted three or four slices, are still going back and picking at it, I will put the challah away. I will wrap it up and I will put it away because, you know, my family is going to eat it for the rest of the weekend. And I don't want somebody just who cannot control their carb load, you know, picking at it. Yeah. So sometimes I do hide that. So is it against the spirit of the holiday to hide the casserole dish behind the slow cooker? It's freaking Lord of the Flies out there, friends. You know, it's okay. It's not against the spirit of the holiday. Remember, this is not a religious holiday. There's no spirit involved. It's just the idea of gratitude. So you take those green beans. It's okay. I give you permission to hide the green beans.
Oh, there's spirits involved. Trust me. Anyways, dear Jordana, every year precisely at 3:30 p.m., my dad falls asleep directly in front of the TV right when the main football game gets good. I want to change the channel to a classic holiday movie. Is it acceptable to use a large, fluffy throw pillow to gently obscure his view of the screen, or do I have to wait until he wakes up and yells about the score?
If you fall, I just said it's Lord of the Flies. Yeah. Somebody falls asleep, they abdicate their rights to the clicker or the television screening. They are not screening. They are sleeping. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely not. If somebody falls asleep, they don't still get to control the television. Forget about it. If he wakes up and starts screaming about the game, first of all, he needs to chill. He needs more tryptophan from the turkey. Then you need to look on your phone and say, here's the score of the game. Go back to bed. Because, you know, we all get to celebrate this holiday. If your tradition is to keep the game on until grandpa falls asleep or dad falls asleep and you want to watch a movie and everybody's okay, everyone that's awake is okay with that, you absolutely may change the channel. Sleeping grown men do not get to control anything, really. They're sleeping. So, no. So, he can look on his phone or you can look on yours to get the score of the game. And by the way, if he says, no, I'm awake. Give it 30 seconds. Yeah. He will immediately fall asleep again and you will be able to watch whatever you want. They never stay awake for too long. So yeah,
they don't.
That's it. And that's the rule. If you're sleeping, you have no control. Sorry.
Plug your ears, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't like this word. But dear Jordana, I was aiming for a moist and flavorful turkey this year, but I may have accidentally turned it into a salty prehistoric sponge. Should I tell the truth now or just leave a bucket of water next to everyone's plate and hope the gravy covers the salt crisis?
So you over-salted or over-brined the turkey? Mm-hmm. That's what happened? Yeah, my sister-in-law was brining one last night. She said she basically has to soak it overnight in a bucket. So should you warn everyone? I'm guilty of this because I'm such an unconfident cook. I always say, like, let me know if the brisket's dry or let me know if the broccoli's too salty. Yeah, I always, because I'm unconfident. People are like, Jor, it's fine. You know, and they eat it. So I think it's okay. I might give a little bit of a warning because you want people to be prepared. Also, you don't want somebody to taste the turkey and make the face like, oh, well, that is that is an unusual flavor. You don't want to surprise anybody or maybe even feel more embarrassed or call attention to it than you already have. So I think if you warn them and say, like, I've left the brine in for too long, then maybe, or whatever happened to the turkey, I say you come clean, pray that the gravy is still good and that the sides are delicious. You know, the turkey gets screwed up a lot. Sometimes it's too dry, too chewy or undercooked, or there's giblets in it. You know, the sides are going to be okay. So I would come clean and just say, fair warning, you might want an extra glass of water next to you. And then everybody can decide what they want to eat. And hopefully they're not too mean about it.
There's not much worse things than a dry turkey.
Mm-mm. Yeah, dry. Yeah. Nope. I know. Even with, that's the thing about dry turkey. Even if you smother it with gravy, it's still dry turkey.
Yeah.
It's not like it re-moisterizes like your skin.
It's because you pour water or a sponge into a desert ground doesn't mean it doesn't go away. So
that's right. Yeah. You know, it's still kind of dry, but you'll be okay. Even if the turkey's bad this year, this too shall pass, my friend.
Yes. Theme of the day. Dear Jordana, a distant cousin showed up unannounced and brought a side dish that looked suspiciously like three separate casseroles that fused together in transit. Oof.
Oh, that sounds gross.
Do I, as the host, have an obligation to take the first sacrificial bite to spare their feelings, or can I just quietly move it to the dog's water bowl?
Oh, God, no, you do not have to eat it. Oh, no. If somebody, first of all, did you say they showed up unannounced?
Yes.
Or like didn't RSVP or something? Oh, my gosh, no. First of all, if you don't know they're coming, that's rude that they're just showing up. They should have at least given you a heads up on the way. Hey, by the way, I'm on my way. And then they brought something gross. No, you do not have to eat it. You definitely do not have to eat it. I think you probably have to serve it. If they brought something, you probably have to serve it. You put it out and you can say, you know, cousin Franco brought this, didn't know he was coming, so this is an extra addition. You do not have to tell people what it is. If you are unclear, if they ask you, you can say, please ask cousin Franco. He can give you all of the information about this triple mushy casserole that's lukewarm, that got smushed together on the train coming over here. Yeah, you absolutely don't have to eat it, but I do think you need to serve it. Because who knows, maybe he likes it, or it might be like Soylent Green or his special green juice mix that's healthy. Like, who the heck knows?
Cousin Frank.
As long as nobody's allergic to it, you can, and that might be a good way to get him to define it. Hey, we've got a couple allergies in the room. What's in this? So I can tell people if they're allergic to something that they shouldn't eat it. I think that's a good sensitive way of letting him know what the heck is this mush that you just brought. And you do not have to own it. If somebody bites it into it and they don't like it, or if nobody touches it, that's on cousin Franco. Yeah. That's not on you, my friend. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You got any more, Josh?
Nothing right now.
Okay. All right. 651-461-9226. A couple of your texts came in about your worst Thanksgiving disasters. Mine was leaving the giblets in when it cooked and got pulled out in the plastic, all soggy, when the carving came time. But feel free. We'll leave everybody on a smile this Thanksgiving day. Next. Here's a tip for you, Josh. A texter says the dollar store is the best place to get Tupperware, any kind of container.
Good.
There you go. If you're going to buy Tupperware, that's definitely the way to go. I wanted to read this. Oh, geez. You can tell 3 hours of me by myself, my throat really starts to grow, to go. I wanted to share some of the Thanksgiving horror stories that you guys were sharing with me because, oh my goodness, some of them are horrific, but also hilarious. Jor, one Thanksgiving, we had a lot of family and friends at our home. Our neighbors were away and offered their oven for our use. I put a number of dishes in their oven. I accidentally spilled some baked beans in the oven, but it was time to eat. So I took the food home before leaving and put the self-cleaning on their oven and closed up the house. The next thing I get is a call from the neighbors because the smoke alarms were going off. As I went to their house, the fire department showed up. The house was filled with smoke. The fire squad too, fire squad had about an hour, was there about an hour with huge fans airing out the home. I have not yet lived this down. I can only imagine. He says, but we laugh now. That, especially because smoke in the house, that's a tough one. Yeah. That is a nightmare, but hopefully they got all the smoke out and they aired out the house and everything was well. Jor, as a Jewish boy, for whatever reason, I was never aware that stuffing was made with some sort of meat. Josh, is stuffing always made with meat?
Not that I know of, no. I mean, I know we have turkey. I know that there's certain kinds. There are, I think, vegan options too, but there's, I think, chicken and turkey. But I always thought it was maybe artificial flavoring. I didn't think it was, I mean, because it comes in a box, so I just never think it's.
Yeah. Right?
It's maybe
comes in a box or breadcrumbs or right. Yeah. So okay, anyway, as a Jewish boy, whatever reason, I was never aware that the stuffing was made with meat. So I was at Thanksgiving's meal at a friend's house years ago and was stunned to discover that the stuffing had white castles in it. Holy slider, Batman. Wow. Have you ever heard of White Castle stuffing?
No, I have not. And I don't know if I want to try it because you're going to be on the toilet for a few hours.
Okay. Someone's giving advice to the woman who was afraid of overbrining or oversalting her turkey. Says nothing is worse than an apologetic cook. Just be still and cross your fingers, R.E. the spongy turkey. I need this advice because I sound so insecure when people come for Shabbos. And I'm like, let me know how the broccoli is, or let me know how the brisket, or the meatballs. I used a different breadcrumbs in my meatballs. Are those what? I sound so insecure, and I'm 53 years old. I raised three kids. Like, I need to. If they eat, they eat. If they don't, they don't. I need to get over myself. But I am an insecure cook. That is something about me. And
so
I
was Sarah.
Sarah's half my age. Your wife is half my age.
She also needles me. Mm-hmm. When she cooks something, mm-hmm. she will sit there for 20 minutes saying, is it okay? How is it? Is it okay?
Yeah, right. Right.
You're fine. I'm eating. We're good.
I know. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Let me get to some more of these texts here. My fun Thanksgiving story is the year I was hosting, this texter says, Thanksgiving, and my son-in-law likes to remind me of that Thanksgiving. I decided to put my turkey in... hold on, an oven bag, and thought it would maybe make it better. However, an envelope belongs to me that the bag that I purchased was a brining bag. Oh, an oven bag. Okay, sorry, the text is kind of jumping around. It was a brining bag and not an oven bag. About 2.5 hours into the roasting, I happened to open up the oven to see how it was going. My turkey was solidified in the browning bag. Panicking, I put the turkey out on the back steps and called Lunds and Byerly's, who rescued me by bringing over several rotisserie chickens. Fun Thanksgiving. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Okay, there you go. Brining bag, oven bag. Wow. I'm so sorry. Hey, Jor, White Castle stuffing is pretty good. I'm sure it is. I am sure it is. Jor, improved turkey breast using a booning knife or a long, thin one. Remove the entire breast from the keel bone. Oh, you're saying words that I don't even know. And this is why I don't make Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for spending Thanksgiving morning with me. I'm off to watch the parade, top the pies, and go and be thankful. I am grateful for you, Josh, for joining us. I am grateful for everybody at CCO. I am grateful, so grateful for the listeners. Have a beautiful day, everyone. I'll see you back here tomorrow morning. Happy Thanksgiving.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.